Okay. Is that too loud? Maybe you should get the thing out there and adjust it. Sometimes we get caught up in things. If you want to, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. We get caught up in things and we think because we don't have our nose stuck in the book, because we're not on our knees, because we're not with our hands clasped and our eyes closed, that God does not speak to us. But the only thing that stops God from speaking to you as individuals is your own mind. And if we busy ourselves so much with clutter in our lives, these things of this world, we can't hear God. It's not that God's not speaking, it's just we can't hear because our mind is racing about all these things that the world puts out. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything in this world more important than God in your life? What's the answer?
No.
Well, then why do we let these things, and it's not condemnation, I'm just asking you a question. We need to ask ourselves, why do we let all these temporal things have such a drag in our lives? We need to come to a place where we realize God has said it many, many times. We've heard it said many times by many people that this stuff is temporal. It doesn't make any difference. We have to learn to overlook these temporal things, right? It's not to say I ignore them and then let the inside be all tore up. But we have to come to a place where we understand that this is what God wants in our life. If He didn't want it, would it be here? Huh? Okay. So God is placing us in this walk in our lives, and He's put this, what I call a custom-made walk for each individual. Phil, all the hell you've walked through, do you think it was because of something you did?
I did it one time.
See? See, bless God, we're coming to the understanding that God set this up in your life. It's not punishment for you. This is just things that God has set up in our life that will bring us to Him. What is the ultimate purpose of this life anyway? To bring us back to Him. See, it's not about punishing us for doing right or wrong, or rewarding us for right and punishing us for wrong. That's not the purpose of this life. The purpose of this life is reconciling this creation back to the Father, the Creator. Okay? So if we can get our minds in this way, don't look the wrong way. Don't look at all this temporal stuff. Look at the reality. The reality is not what you see, feel, taste, and touch. The reality is what? Spirit. Remember that. And when we read this book, know that God will talk to you in your what? In your spirit. In your heart, that's right, baby. That's nothing wrong with that. That heart and spirit, same thing. Revelation chapter 8 this morning. And when He had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was one, was given unto him incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of that star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Father, may you open our minds today that we may see the spirit of this, that we may make application of this word into our lives today. Father, help us to understand this is not some futuristic view of something. This is not some historical view, but is a present tense view of our lives. Father, we can see some of the past, we can see some of the future, but we got to see the now in all of this. Father, help us do that. It's been a few weeks since we've been in this book because of the meetings and things going on, but I want to go ahead and finish this teaching in this book. It's very important to know that this is not some thing that we're not supposed to touch. It's not something we don't understand, because God has given us an understanding of this book. It's something we need in our lives today. And it says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, who was the he? It was Christ. It was the Christ. It was the Lamb of God who had been slain in chapter 4, who was worthy to open the seals, right? This is who it is. This is the Christ. Now, if you think this is that Jesus, one man who walked upon the earth, hello, 2,000 years ago that opened this book, you missed it. This is the Christ that was formed in Genesis chapter 1. It's the Christ, not the one man in the flesh body. When Jesus died on the cross, who died with him? His body. His body died, didn't it? That's us. Hello, you understand what I'm saying? This Christ that opened this seal, who do you think it is? It's not just that Jesus who walked 2,000 years ago. Come on. It's about the Christ, the corporate man. And when the corporate man, this corporate Christ, opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. I'm not even going to touch it. I used to have a place I played with that in the flesh, and I'm not going to this morning. I don't feel it. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. Seven messengers. Hello. We know seven is a spiritual number, right? So seven doesn't mean literally seven, does it? It's his messengers. Well, how many messengers is there? A whole bunch of us, isn't there? A whole bunch of messengers. We can't get locked up on this numbers of just being exactly a certain thing. It's a spiritual book. Seven is perfection. It's his perfected messengers. Okay? His mature messengers. And they stood before God, and to them were given what? Seven trumpets. Now, if you think it's one of them horns that go to do to do to do to do, that's not what he's talking about. It's all in symbolism. Every time it speaks of a trumpet, it speaks of the word of God being spoken. He said, I heard the word as it were a what? Trumpet. He's talking about the word of God coming out of these perfected messengers. Now notice, there weren't just one messenger, was there? The way the Spirit has showed this to me is there's seven impartations of the word. Okay? Seven different words that God gave. This is about putting the word into oneness, the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's going to come from different directions. There's a reason why there's people in the outer court. There's reasons why there's people in the Pentecostal realm, the second day, the holy place. And there's reasons for people being in the third realm, the Holy of Holies, into the Feast of Tabernacles. These are things God has set up. But there's seven different words that's given to these seven different messengers, or these mature messengers. They're given a mature word, aren't they? This is something that will change your life. You can go hear some people preach the rest of your life, and you can sit in your carnality, and you will never be convicted of change. Is that true? I know people sat in church 40, 50 years and then never changed. They died and never changed. Because they never heard a word that was from the Christ, that was from the throne, that would change their lives. The Word of God will challenge you in your life. Do you know that? It will challenge you daily in your life to do something different. And when you don't hear that, there will be no challenge in your life. But when you hear the truth of God, it will challenge you every day. You will do things. There's things that I did yesterday that today I can't do because He challenged me in it today. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's things that you could do last week that you can't do today, or last year, or last month. The Holy Spirit will challenge you with this word that you hear to live up. Do you believe what you heard? If you say yes, then guess what you've got to do? You've got to live it. See, you can't play anymore. It's a time when God, there was a time when God winked at sin, wasn't there? But the Scripture says now He requires all men to do what? Repent. Change the way you think. And when you change the way you think, you'll change the way you walk. You'll live your life the way you're supposed to. It's all tied together. Okay. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, or literally holding, okay, holding a golden censer. And there was given unto him much what? In order that, and this is the reason why it was given to him, in order that he should offer it, he should offer, and it with, not even supposed to be there, he should offer the prayers of saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. I could pull up scripture, I could give you a couple. 1 Timothy 2 and 5, it talks about Jesus being the mediator between God and man. Hebrews 12:24 says the same thing, that Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Who do you think this one was who was given these prayers, these incense? Incense in Scripture is prayer. Who was these prayers given to? What do you think? Who did God give these prayers to pray? The Christ. The Christ. And when we're mature messengers of God, and that don't just mean preachers or pastors or anything like that, it's when we're mature messengers, when we grow up in our spirit. You don't have to be a preacher to be a messenger of God, do you? When we grow up in the Spirit, God gives us a responsibility. And I know most people don't like responsibility, but how do you get around it? Did Jesus carry responsibility when He walked as a flesh man on the earth? Okay, well, we got it too. If we're part of His body, if I have responsibility to do something and I've got to go do it, I can't send my head somewhere to do it and leave my body here, can I? They go together. So if my head has a responsibility, my body does too. Right? So we have a responsibility here to do this, what He said. To take these prayers, these incense, and offer it on the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, it's God's altar, it's gold, right? And we are to do what? We've done some of that this morning. We prayed for people that's been distracted, people who are sick, people who are caught up in things. We prayed for them. That's part of our job, is it not? To take them to God, not to look down on them and say, oh, they're bad people because they're not here this morning, or they're out doing something that you would like to do and they're not. You know, they're doing it and you're not getting to. See, that's not what it's about. It's about taking them before the Father and lifting them up. You hear me? So that's what we're doing. This is the Christ. See, we've got to see ourselves in this. If we can't see ourselves in it, what are we doing? Why would we even listen or read this book if it can't change our lives? There's no reasoning for it, is there? It just doesn't make sense if it's not going to come alive in us. We've got to put this stuff away. It's for somebody else. Jesus said he could rise up sons out of the stones, couldn't he? You going to let a rock take your place? I'm sorry, I'm not. I want what God's got for me, and I want it for you. As bad as I want it for me, I want it for you. Just as bad. And it says, the smoke of the incense, and the next three words shouldn't be there, which came with, they're all added words. And the smoke of the incense, literally, comma, the prayers of the saints, what she's telling you, the smoke of the incense was the prayers of the saints, ascended before God out of the angel's what? That's his ministry. See? That's what the Christ is about. The mediator, making it between God and man. Because man can't get to God on his own, can he? It has to have that mediator, the Christ, the Spirit within us. See? And his ministry, his hand, is the one releasing that to the Father. If we don't release them to the Father, if we don't take those prayers to the Father, how in the world are they going to get reconciled back to the Father? Tell me, how are they going to do it? Only one way. We, as the body of Christ, as the sons, the first fruit, have to take those back to the Father. Now, this isn't some kind of carnal thing. We're going to make a list up of everybody we're going to pray over, and we want to pray into the kingdom. That's not it. Preston just wrote a beautiful letter this last... I haven't read 2 or 3 months. I haven't been able to read very much. And this weekend, I got back into the swing of things, and I got started reading again. And just this past weekend, the little dark-haired girl, Nancy, from up north, Nancy, we got out on the porch there and talking, and she said, I got to ask you a question. And this is something that's probably in a whole bunch of your hearts, so you all need to hear it. She said, since I've came into this message, something has changed and I can't understand it. Tell me why. And I said, well, what are you talking about? She said, I can't pray. I said, you can't pray? And she says, no, no, I don't mean I can't pray. I don't have that unction to pray about all these little things that we always prayed about in Pentecost. Preston put the same thing right in that letter. I said, when you come to this realm of God, you know who's in control. And I don't have to pray about every detail because my Father's in control. What do I pray? I pray His will. If I don't know His will, how can I pray it? But when I pray His will, Father, Thy will be done, not my will, guess what? I can release it because I just agreed with His will. The pattern is perfect. If my will is His will, it has to be done. There's no choice about it. See, because it's not my will to start with. It just became my will that I want to do what the Father wants. Whatever it is, that's fine with me. I just want to line up with the Father. And we do that, we're not going to spend all the time praying. We're going to spend time fellowshipping with His Spirit. It's not a bad thing. There's a time when you come to this realm. How many times, now we know Jesus prayed, right? Through Scripture, Jesus prayed. Did it say every morning He went out and prayed? Every noon He went and prayed? Every evening He went and prayed? Did it say He was constantly praying? There was only certain times that He prayed, see, because He knew the Father's will. And when we come to this place of maturity, we don't have to pray all the time. We're in constant communication with Him. We know what His purposes are. And He lets us go on with our life and do what we've got to do. And when He needs us, we're right there. He knows that we're faithful to Him. There's no problem. He's not mad at us. Does anyone here feel God's mad at you? I hope not. And if you don't pray all day long, does that mean God's going to be mad at you? No. You've got to understand that God loves us and He's got a purpose. And we've got to fit into His plan. Just because it doesn't fit into the religious pattern that they've tried to teach us in Babylon, hey, come on. That's not God. God is who God is, not who man has tried to make Him to be. In the Psalms, it said they tried to mark the Holy One of Israel. In Psalm 78, I believe it is. But you know what? If you go to the root of that word, they tried to shape Him. They tried to shape Him into the Jesus that they thought He should be. And it's no different today. As much as they tried to change Jesus in that first century, they're trying to change the Christ that's walking on the earth today to fit the guidelines that is approved by their denomination or their group or organization. Isn't that true? Everybody has their own guidelines, their own patterns, and they did not get them from this book. They got together in a group and said, well, we like this, let's vote on it. And they made what they wanted. Well, I'm sorry, you can't change God's word. He said, my word will stand forever. And His pattern will always be there. Verse 5, is that where I'm at? And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it where? Hello, earth. You got some fire in you. You know what? See, everybody thinks this is something bad. You know what this is? It's the day of Pentecost, honey. This is Pentecost. He said, John the Baptist said in Matthew 3 and 11, what did he say? There's one that comes after I that's mightier than I, and he shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. This is the day of Pentecost. See, we already had Passover in chapter 4. The lamb was freshly slain. Is that Passover? Okay, now we're at Pentecost. How about that? Look what happens. And the angel took the censer. It was a golden censer, wasn't it? That means it was God's. Filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. That's the Son of God being cast into the earth, the Holy Spirit. Okay? That was the day of Pentecost. What happened? Cloven tongues of fire set up on how many? All of them. He put it in the earth that day. And look what happened. It was cast into the earth, right? If you go into Mark 9:49, if you want to write that down, take the time. Mark 9:49, and in Luke 12:49, Jesus made a statement. He said, I didn't come to bring peace to the earth, but to set a fire on it. See, fire is not a bad thing. This fire that he put in this golden censer, this godly thing that he carried, was just to carry the spirit of purification into our lives. Fire is purification. And he set a fire in us to burn up all that old dross of our life. Do you see his pattern? It's a symbolic thing. But it's a censer. It's something made of gold that they carried around and put incense in, you know, let the little smoke out and everything. It was a physical thing. It was a shadow and a type. And literally, that's the Christ. The Christ is the one carrying everything. It's all about the Christ. So it's a symbolism of the Christ. It's a golden instrument. And gold speaks of the nature of God. Okay? So they take this censer, which I say is the Christ, filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. That's the Spirit of God coming in. Okay? So now, and there were what? There were voices and thunderings and lightnings. Thank you, baby. There were voices, thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Voices. Wonder what voice it is. It's the voice of the Spirit of God. There was thunderings. Every time that you hear God's word, what do you hear going along with it? Thunderings and lightnings. Those always are associated with God speaking. And lightnings and a what?
Earthquake.
An earthquake. What are you made out of? Here's the earthquake. It don't happen below your chin. It's all above your chin. It's all from the shoulders up. How many of us in here can say that you haven't had a complete upheaval in your earth since you come to the truth? Hello? Have you had an upheaval? Have you had an earthquake? Has there been some things cracking in your earth and breaking and things spewing out? Huh? Any of that going on in your lives? Hello, earthquakes. God just quaking your earth. And the only way he's going to get out the things that's not supposed to be there is shake it up. And you know what? He won't miss a thing. Because he said in the day that he started, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. It's solid as a rock. It's a solid rock. Amen. When it comes up out of you, all that stuff goes away, but that just solidifies the Word of God. Amen. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now notice that they prepared themselves. That's our responsibility, to prepare ourselves to be able to speak the Word of God upon the face of the earth. He said, I'll place it within you, but we still have a responsibility. Come on. We've got to be able to see that this isn't just going to happen. God's just going to wave a magic wand, or you're going to get a, big feeling, and then all of a sudden I know everything about the Word of God. It takes time and preparation.
Lots of earthquakes.
Aftershocks. I think Phil said that aftershock, wasn't it? We're going to get some aftershocks after the initial earthquake. And we've all had aftershocks since God started dealing with us. We just thought that first one was it. And say, hang on, there's another one coming. Hang on to her. So they all prepared themselves to sound, or literally to speak.
We can't speak the Word of God if we don't know the Word of God. We've got to know it in our spirit. It's not just something we memorize. There's a friend of mine who was a pastor over in Kentucky and in Church of Christ, and he came one time years ago when we were still meeting in the basement, and he wanted to tape it, and he wanted to tape my message and then go preach it. He wanted to memorize what I said and then go preach it. And we'd talk, and he'd say, "How do you do this? You talk and quote Scripture and understand things about God, and you can do it for hours and hours, and you never miss a word." And I said, "How did you memorize all that?" And I said, "You missed it. If you think I memorized it, you know, then anybody could do it. You could train a parrot to do that. You can train a parrot to speak. But it's in your spirit. God places it within you, and you don't have any choice. It's just what's in there. If you turn your computer on and you only have one program in it, what's it going to do? It's only going to do what you got in it. And God has put that in me to do that, and I can't do anything else. It's the same way with you. If you let Him bring alive this Word in your life, there is nothing else you can do. Where does your mind go first thing in the morning when you wake up? It's on the Christ. It's on His Word. What can He do when you're working through the day? I'm thinking about things of God. What do I do when I go to lunch? Think about God. I couldn't think about eating without thanking Him for it. I mean, it's not a religious thing. It's just, I really thank Him for it. And when I'm working all afternoon, or I don't care if I'm fishing, or if I'm just out in the streets, or if I'm helping somebody work, or outside working, it's still, He's there. That's what we're supposed to do. That's that responsibility of letting Him work in our lives. See, it don't have to be just with your nose stuck in the book, but if we keep ourselves tuned to the Spirit of God, He's going to speak things in our life that gives us a witness of what He already wrote in there before the foundation. I was talking to a man way down in Kentucky a few weeks ago, and he said, "I just don't know if I believe all this stuff or not." I said, "Well, I'm not going to argue with you about it. If you don't want to change, that's okay." But we began to speak, and as we spoke, I spoke some words from the Old Covenant to him. And I'm trying to show him that this thing is shadows and types back there, bringing the reality of Christ today. And all of a sudden he said, "Oh my God." I said, "What?" He said, "Oh my God." I said, "What?" He said, "I see that." I mean, he was like so excited that he saw the pattern from the Old Testament to the New. I mean, you couldn't have handed him $500 and made him any happier than what he saw at that moment. He said, "You know what?" And this is what shocked me. He said, "God hasn't given up on me yet, has He?" See, he just revealed his heart. He thought God had given up on him because he had separated from the church world for several years. See that? See how quick that mind will jump in there? But it tells on itself. He said, "God's still working on me. He hadn't given up on me." Oh, geez. I haven't talked to him since, but it'll come around. God's Word will not return void, but it'll accomplish what it's sent there to do, won't it? Okay, where am I at? 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire with blood. That don't sound good, does it? But hang on. Now, we just had an earthquake, didn't we? And this stuff is all associated with that earthquake. And when it first comes around, when you first hear the Word of God, it's pretty hard, isn't it? Do you know what hail is? It's frfrozen water. It's hard water. It's hard word. And that word comes and changes your lifestyle. I can't walk that path no more. I have to change and go someplace else. It's a hard word. And the fire, right? And the cleansing and the purification begin in our lives. So when this earthquake's going on, that word comes, that hard, solid word. The word he said would be like a rod of iron. It's uncompromising. When that hail falls, it falls on everything, don't it? Whatever's in the area, it falls on it. And it don't let it go. It changes whatever's there. It'll beat it down, won't it? We have to be... Absolutely. But it's broken.
After we have been, we speak, and then we differently.
Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But see, all this has to come with this earthquake. Once it started, okay, the earthquake started, and see, the Christ started it, and now the rest of them, the messengers, have to bring to finish the work. Didn't he say, "Greater works than these shall you do"? The things that he did, you're going to do a greater work, aren't you? Mingled with what? What does blood mean to you? What's it mean? Most of the time, people say blood is death, but blood is life. It's life or death. But he said, all this stuff is mingled, hail and fire, and what else was there? And blood. Hail and fire, but blood. Life is mingled in this. In this hard word, and in this purification that's coming, it's bringing what? Life. It's mingled with it. And all this together is going to bring out the life of God in us, isn't it? And they were cast upon the earth. Hello, earth. Right? And a third part of the what? What is that? Trees is humanity. So it was cast on a third part. Hello, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. There's three-thirds in there. It was cast on one-third of them, wasn't it? It was cast on one-third of humanity, and it was burnt up. I think Paul said in Revelations, if I'm not mistaken, he said this, don't measure the outer courts. I mean, John said, and all green what? Well, you can look in Psalm 40, verse 6 and 8. You can look in Psalm 103, verse 15, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. And it says this, all grass is flesh. Hello. So what did he pour it on? He's destroying the fleshly thinking. It's about the flesh. It's not about people. We've got to get this concept in our mind that says the wicked and all this stuff is people. It's not people. It's the wicked in our thinking process that has to be removed. It's not about this flesh here that we walk around in. It's about this flesh in our mind, the way we think with our fleshly thinking. If we understand that, we'll quit looking at them people out there and saying they're our problems. Because they're not our problems, are they? Our problem is in here, in our thinking process. Anytime you look external and point at anybody and point that they're the problem, you've totally missed it. The only reason someone can offend you, someone can hurt you, is because there's a weakness in our heart. If our heart was perfect, we would stand. Jesus was tested every way as a man, right? So he felt every pain you could feel, but he never let it take him off his course. Paul said this about him. He learned obedience through the things he suffered, right? So the suffering will bring you to this perfection. It's not the people's fault. You'll look at them people and say, hey, I thank God you were the person you was, because, you know, if you hadn't been, I wouldn't have changed. There's people in my life that hurt me tremendously, done terrible things to me. And today I say, I am so thankful that person was in my life because they changed me. They made me, they brought about that earthquake in my life. They brought about that lava spewing up out of my earth. And it got out. All that old nasty stuff that was in here, pressure in me, has been released. And now I can walk in peace. Thank God for it. I'm going to tell you, when I was going through it, I didn't think that way. You'll never think when you're walking through it, this is great. But when you walk past it and you look back and say, whew, am I glad I'm not there no more. Thank God that they changed me, because there's going to be a greater test come, but guess what? There's greater grace. There's always more grace. Always more grace. But he strengthened you. Once he strengthened you, that test ain't never going to bother you again. And you can walk on to the next one. He's got it laid out. You have to just trust him. But all the green grass was burned up. So all the flesh was burned up. Thank God. That tells me we got hope. See, because he said all flesh was burned up. That's right. All the flesh is gone, see. He said it's going to be burned up. So that lets me know that we will come to perfection. If all flesh is burned up, there's none left, is there? Guess what? Yeah, that'll make you shout. Y'all be so happy? Absolutely. Amen. Yep. What says that in Scripture? That's part of it. It'll all go too. It's part of it. There you go. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. Now hang on. If you see this great mountain of fire and you throw it in the water, the fire's going out. Right? Water puts fire out. Is that right? So we can't be looking at this as natural, can we? Now who is this great big mountain? It's God, and it's his kingdom. So this great big mountain was burning with fire. Again, you go back to Luke And you go back to Mark where it talks about the fire being cast into the earth. He said, what if it's already been started? Right? So, we see this great big mountain burning with fire cast into the what? Sea speaks of humanity. The multitudes of the people. So we see this. God is cast in with his fire into the sea, and a third part of the sea became what? Blood. Alive. Well, tabernacles. One third. See, when God casts in, this word, the scripture says that there's power of life and death in the tongue. Right? And when we speak this word, it's either one of two things to people. Life or death. And see, life's going to come through the tabernacles, and the others is going to be what? Death. But that's only for a season, thank God. It's only for a season. They're not going to remain there forever. It's for a purification. It'll be all right. There's more angels coming. Don't worry. Verse 9, and a third part of the what? Literally the creation is what the word says. It's katesis. It's creation. Creation which were in the sea and had life did what? Hello. This word life is psuche. It's not spirit. It's soul. It's soul. See, we all have a soul life, don't we? Because we became a living soul when God created us, did we not? So he said a third part of these people became dead. They had life, but they died. Hello, overcomers. What must you do? We must die, don't we? Don't we have to die to ourself? See, our soul has to be given up, doesn't it? So, he says a third part of creation, which were in the sea, that's the humanity, the multitudes, and had life, died. And a third part of the what were destroyed? Ships. Systems of man. Okay? Every one of us is a ship on the sea of humanity. And a third part of our ship got sunk. He just torpedoed us. Okay? Can you hear that? He torpedoed our ship, our soul, so that our spirit might be made alive. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. I wonder what star that might be. It's the morning star. It's the Christ. And it fell upon... And the third star sounded, and fell a great star from heaven. Now, where did it fall to? It said it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, so it had to fall upon the earth, didn't it? Jesus was that bright and morning star. He was the one that fell from the heaven realms to the earth. Okay? But now, it's not a bad thing. That's his crucifixion. That's his crucifixion. We've seen Passover and Pentecost. Why not crucifixion in here also? And it says this. It fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. What are we called? We're supposed to be vessels with rivers of living water flowing out of our belly, aren't we? We're fountains. Where's the song they sing? Spring up, O well. And in the language, it literally says we're fountains of gushing water in the language. So what are these rivers and these fountains, literally? We're going to get away from the language, away from this here and go into symbolism. What does this represent? The rivers and upon the fountains of waters. It's upon the Word. This Christ, this great star, fell upon these people. And he only fell upon one third of them. Now this is his purpose. He brought purification. A star is made out of what? What is a star made of? What? It is actually burning gases. Okay? And something there is burning, like the sun. It's this great big ball of fire, right? And when it falls to the earth, it's very hot, and it falls. So what does that create? Fire. And what does fire do again? It purifies. So he's telling you that this mind of Christ that he has here, this great star, the Christ, fell upon the earth. It fell upon a third of them, and it fell upon a third of the rivers, the Word coming out of these people. God is going to purify this Word. So even if we have flaws in our mind, he's going to purify it, right? See, we can't purify ourselves. God is going to fall upon these rivers, this supply of the Word. He's going to fall on the fountains, and that's the individual people who are speaking this Word. And what's this fire from this great star going to do? It's going to purify it and make it right. Now, literally upon these ministries that have been the ministries of man, God is going to convert them through His heat, His light, and His power. We can't do that on our own. Come on, we don't have the ability in us to do those things. It's the Christ that will change us. And the name of the star is called what? What does that word mean?
Bitter.
You know what? It's talking about the Passover again. The Word of God is bitter. They had bitter herbs with their Passover, didn't they? The Word of God becomes very bitter in our spirit, in our soul, rather. And name the star is wormwood or bitter, and a third part of the waters became what? Literally, it means they became embittered, angry, irritated, or indignant. Sometimes I've seen the Word of God make people so mad. I mean, it's amazing. I see them spit, cuss, throw things, pull guns out and threaten to shoot people. Just walk around in humanity, brother. It's everywhere. But see, that Word of God creates that in them. It makes them angry. It makes them bitter and vile. But see, that doesn't bother me because when God is working in someone's life and that embitterment is in their soul, I know what's coming. I know they're coming out of it, see? When the instance you was talking about right there, I didn't see what was going on. I saw the fruit that was coming down the road, see? I saw something way down the road there somewhere, see, it's come. See, because you can't be that miserable unless God's in there stirring you. See, that earthquake was started in you a long time ago. And Phil's heard more word than most people ever hear in their lifetime. Because I spent many days out there doing things for him, didn't I? And what did we talk about all day long? Nobody around but me and you. See? And I got to preach the Word of God in him for years. He heard all kinds of stuff that people never heard. And guess what? In his time, God brings him out. That's right. And it said, and many men died, what? From the waters, because they were made angry, irritated, indignant, and bitter. See? Now, is there life and death in the Word? See, that's what it's about. There's a third of them that's going to come to life right now, and the other two-thirds aren't going to right now. They're going to, but not right now. And see, that's what the church world has a problem with. They want to put everybody in hell and burn them for eternity, and out of the same mouth they'll speak, but God's going to save the whole world. And James said, a double-minded man or a two-spirited or a two-souled man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, how could it be? How could God throw everybody in hell for eternity and save the whole world?
Well, they don't save
them, but
they save
one. Yeah, but he can't do it. He just don't have the power to do it. Well, what else can it be? How many of us has failed because of the bitter thing that was in us, but we were told, if you don't live this, God's going to do this thing to you? It has to get bitter. It can't do anything but be bitter unless it's by the Spirit of God and the truth. And unless that big mountain falls on that water, that star, with his purification, if it isn't thrown in there and all this purification coming, the words they speak are not by the Spirit of God, but they're out of their humanity, all to be is embitterment to you. And see, it won't bring the life. But we have that fire in us now, don't we? And now it comes to life. The same words, Phyllis, that you heard years ago in church don't mean what they mean today, do they? See, because now you have that life came into you. Before, you were hearing under condemnation. It's not under condemnation. Now you realize this fire in your life is a purification. So you say, hey, praise God. What's the next one? Okay. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This is good. The fourth angel. What's four? And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened,
And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the what? The sun. If we go back to Genesis 37, we see that in Joseph's life, when he had his dream, that he, that he understood by his father's words, he said, the sun, the moon, the stars would all bow down to him. His father translated this by saying, shall I, the sun, and your mother, the moon, and 11 stars, your brothers, all bow to you? So we see that he says here that a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So what do we see? We see God, a third part of him, that's a third of the humanity. We see a third part of the moon, the church, smitten, and a third part of the stars, the brothers, the seed of Abraham. And so the third part of them was what? Darkened. Darkened in what? Understanding. And the day, or the day star, shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So they did not have the light of Christ in them for a third of the time, a part of the time. It's just a time period. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. This word beheld literally means saw. I saw and heard an angel flying, not through, but in the midst of heaven. What are you? God dwells where? In heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. Does not God dwell within you? So, guess what? Heaven. Hello, heaven. You are the heavens that he lives in, that this spirit is flying through the midst of, or in the midst of. Saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Woe means literally pain, grief, and suffering. To the inhabitants or the permanent residents of the earth. This is the first two covenants, the dust and the sand. The sand covenant and the dust covenant will always remain on the earth. The only way we can come out of the dust and the sand is to ascend into the heavenlies, to a place where the serpents can't come. The dust and the sand is literally what? Serpent's food. Serpents cannot fly to a higher realm than the earth. They must stay in the dust and the sand. Isaiah said it this way. There's a higher way, or literally a highway. And the language really says there's a higher way than the way that man walks upon. There's a way where the lions can't tread and the vultures can't fly. That's what he's talking about. Being seated in the heavenlies, as Paul said, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is what we're talking about. He's saying, he's showing you that the realms are prevalent in this word, that there is a place for a people that chooses to be seated in heavenly places rather than being satisfied with Passover or Pentecost. Some people are very satisfied just to be saved, say, I ain't going to hell. Well, that's not good enough for me. I come to Pentecost, and I thought, well, my God, everybody said that's all there is. But you know what? There's more than Pentecost. There's tabernacles beyond that. And you know, when we get in tabernacles, I don't know how far we can go. Just because we say we've entered this realm does not mean we've entered the fullness of it. There's much more out there than what we know. God is going to continue to take us, and we'll be knowing him for eternity. And he said it was a woe, woe, woe to the permanent inhabitants of the earth by reason of the remaining voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Well, I'm going to tell you, this trumpet for these three angels was the remaining word of God. But the woe is only to the people that remain permanently in the dust and the sand. If we come out of this dust and sand realm and ascend into the heavenlies where we are to be seated in Christ, guess what? There's no woe. The vulture can't fly there. The lion can't walk there. The carnal mind cannot ascend into the heavenlies. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. We're talking about going to a place where nobody in their carnality can even dream of getting to. We're talking about sitting in a place where God is our center, where he is the center of our universe. We don't have a need for the moon and the sun and the stars because he is the light of that place. That's what we got to ascend to. Come on. Let's get out of this carnality we've fought for so many years and come to a place where we let God be God in our lives. Let's don't limit ourselves any longer to the things and the weaknesses of this carnality that man has placed within us. They have told us for so long, we're just frail humanity. We're not frail humanity. We are sons of God that has a destiny to reach the heights of the mountain of Zion. Come on. We've got to quit thinking like humanity. We must think like our Father. We must think by His Spirit. We must think by the mind of Christ. Oh, God, help us today. Help us to understand what is going on in this earth today. This earthquake that You are bringing in our lives. Help us to understand, Father, that this is what is by Your hand. It's not giving glory and honor to some demon or some devil for doing some big cataclysmic thing in our life. But, Father, it's about You performing an earthquake in our life. It's a controlled earthquake. And, Father, You can take this thing and You can take it to the limits, and still You will not destroy in all Your holy mountain. Oh, God, help us to see that Your plan will come to perfection in Mount Zion. Hallelujah.